All right, I was going to take some interactions that I had in the past couple of days with some people, group members here, and they have questions. So I know that if they're asking those questions, you guys have those questions. And I know there's a lot of new group members who haven't seen some of the videos in the past. If you use the search function on the left side of your screen, if you're looking on a laptop or a desktop computer, you can actually put keywords in. We're putting a lot of words in so you can find the video that relates to something that you may have a question about if I've done the video so far. I don't ever extend past the knowledge that I have. I don't discuss topics that I'm not 100% sure of. So just know that whatever you're getting from me really is backed by evidence and facts and experience. And then if it's an opinion, I'll let you know it's an opinion. But other than that, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about some wording in State v. William Witt, because I just seem to be some confusion on this. And then we'll go into State v. Ireland, which is searching a motor vehicle post DWI for probable cause and evidence of the intoxication. And then we'll just discuss the timelines about case law. And some people are under the impression that case law, let me just write this down. Case law is when it gets old, it becomes stale, and we need to get new case law to have some fresh stuff. So stuff apparently expires. So then I guess there's a time limit on it. Some people must think that, I guess, I don't know. What do you think? The Supreme Court has to come in and refresh things? So when things are settled and decided, let's discuss that right now. So when things are settled and decided, they don't have to be reopened, and that's the decision at the Supreme Court level. Guess what? That's the decisions for forever, unless they come back in and they decide to change it with some other kind of circumstances, or maybe the world has changed at some point. Or there's, you know, like obviously we had State versus Peña Flores, which was the warrantless search for motor vehicle was not allowed, and then that was dissolved, and it was completely stricken from the record, and we went back to the old standard under State versus Alston, and the case of that was State versus William Witt. So this is a good intro into the William Witt conversation. But, I've had a few guys tell me, like, oh, this guy said that this case law is too old. It's not good. And my suggestion is when you hear that, just say, okay, cool. So U.S. versus Miranda, or whatever it was, Miranda. So we don't have to read Miranda to people anymore because that's really old. That's in the 60s or 70s. We don't teach that because we all know it. But maybe that's a good response. Hey, we don't have to read people Miranda rights because that's old and that's stale. We have anything new on it? No, that's it. That's the foundation of it. I mean, everyone knows Miranda rights. It's a guy named Miranda who was arrested and interrogated without giving rights to invoke silence and against self-incrimination. So, just find out why these people are so adamant about pushing one way. I mean, look, I'm here to help everybody. I want to get everybody to not create friction amongst their coworkers, peers, bosses, whatever it may be. Just understand of what the actual truth is and just provide you with factual information. So let's go into State v. William Witt. And I'm just going to read some words out of William Witt, and then I'll put it up here. I'll post it on this video as well. And so in some of the consent decree, I'm going to have the link in there. You guys can read it for yourself so you don't think I'm bullshitting you. Significantly, we also made clear in Alston Supra that, so they quote Alston, which is at 1981. So if you guys want to read Alston as well, that merely because the particular occupants of the vehicle had been removed from the car, arrested, or otherwise restricted in their freedom of movement, police were not required to secure a warrant. So if you have a motor vehicle stop and the guy is arrested and there remains probable cause in the motor vehicle for you to search it, you are entitled to return back to that car and search it, during the course of your motor vehicle stop. Just because the guy's in handcuffs or the girl and in the back of the car doesn't take away the fact that maybe the car smells like marijuana. Maybe the dog indicated on the car. It doesn't stop your PC for the search. Now, guys are getting confused because in 2006, we had something called State v. Eckel. And then the rest of the country, the rest of the guys who were watching, you had that in Arizona v. Mincy. I believe it was Arizona v. Mincy. I'm right. Unless it's Arizona v. Gantt. Hold on a second. I think it could be Gantt. Let me just check. Because it's Friday. I just had coffee. Arizona v. Gantt. My apologies. It wasn't Mincy. It was Gantt. Mincy's another case. Arizona v. Gantt. The rest of the world got that. So let me explain what that is. Years ago, young bucks who are watching, when you had a motor vehicle stop and somebody had a warrant for their arrest, and this is all across the country. We all had this. New Jersey was the first to lose it, and then the rest of the country lost in 2008 with Gantt. Let's say a guy had a $250 seatbelt warrant for his arrest. You literally would take the person out of the car, handcuff them, put them in the back of the car, and you could return to the vehicle and search the whole car as one integrated part of search incident to arrest, no probable cause needed. Now, we've lost that. So I don't want anybody to get confused with that. When you arrest somebody for a warrant with no additional probable cause, you can't search the car as incident to arrest. However, when you arrest somebody with a warrant and maybe their car smells like marijuana or a canine indicator, or you have some other probable cause, you can go back and search the car because you have probable cause. And then you have the car is exigent. You need exigency, right? So in order to have a warrantless search in this country, you need probable cause plus exigent circumstances equals warrantless search. So you have that there. So everybody understands that, and you can go out and apply that now. And if you have any confusion about that, guys, write into me. And I answer a lot of questions throughout the day. So whatever you need, I clarify for you. We'll have a phone call, whatever it is. I don't have enough. I have plenty of time for everybody. Now let's go to the next one. And I get a lot of calls on this one too. And it's State v. Ireland. Let me just scroll down to my computer here so I can quote it. I know I had it before. One second, folks. Oh, come on. Hold on. Bear with me, everybody. All right, so it's 2005. And again, things don't get stale because they are dated. They're still good. And State v. Ireland said this. This is the case that ruled that officers have the right to search a vehicle for open containers after an arrest for DWI. The police may lawfully effect the custodial arrest of a motorist when there's probable cause of DWI violation. So you have PC to make the arrest. You can search the car. This also counts for CDS arrests. If anybody's having any issues with any post-searching DWI searches, post-arrest DWI searches of the car, and you're finding products like heroin and things of that sort, let me know. I'd love to hear if you guys are having issues with it. I'm sure that from what I've told everybody, what everybody's told me in class is that they're not having problems with this. It's completely good to go. And then it says, let me just back up a second. The police may lawfully effect the custodial arrest of a motorist when there is probable cause of DWI violation. Incident to the arrest, the police may search the person or the arrestee. So you can search the person incident to arrest like any other time. And then three, a contemporaneous warrantless search of the vehicle is permissible. We hold that these facts are sufficient to support a reasonable, well-grounded suspicion that alcohol was consumed in the vehicle and thus the vehicle contained open containers of alcohol. Therefore, the probable cause prong of the automobile exception is met. Legitimate wording right out of State v. Ireland. I can't make it much easier for you. I will copy and paste it. You guys can read it. You can click the hyperlink to see it on a different site if you think I've made it up. And you could use that now. So next 450 you get for guys from out of state, 450 is BBOI in New Jersey. Next 4.5 you get, and the guy's good, you're going to be locking him up. You can search the car, okay? If you're looking for bottles, you got to know that you got to look in places where bottles can be found. This is not going to prevent you going to a trunk of a car. And then maybe trying to get, if you're going to have impairment to some level, I don't know how it's going to play out in court if you get consent to search of a car from a guy who's super, super impaired. So again, Wang Gus there, I know who that is, I don't want to say your name. It's not, you're not going to get the trunk on a DWI for alcohol. Got it. So there must be a delay in the comments. So, you can ask for consent if the impairment's, where the guy's still functional and you kind of prove that he maybe do a few tests beforehand. Hey, what's your highest level education? Do you rewrite and understand the English language how bad do you think your impairment is? Ask him some questions. What high school did you go to? What year is it? What time is it? There are people who are hammered that can answer all those questions, and they may be able to give you good consent to search and allow you to go to the trunk. Now, listen, if you're suspecting more drugs in the trunk and you're nervous, just call canine unit. Let the dog come, let the dog indicate and go into the car. And I think that's it, guys. So I'll be back here tomorrow, I believe, for Saturday and Sunday for some more videos. If you have questions, reach out to me. I will attach all the words. And if you need to find and search stuff, go ahead. If you need stickers, just email me. We'll send stickers out, no charge, at streetcopstickers@gmail.com. Adam, what's the for? I think that's all I got for you guys. So the October Monmouth class, just as a side tidbit, I know a lot of guys are trying to get to the October Monmouth class. I'm working right now with getting two more days added so I can fulfill the overflow that we're going to be expecting because we're just about full on it. River, what do I have to do your thing on? So we're going to do it. Hold on a second. Another class. We're tentatively looking at some dates in November. I'm just waiting for the confirmation before I release those dates. So we should be able to accommodate everybody who wanted to come in October. River, what's text the Just shoot me like a couple words as a reminder so I can answer those questions. I forgot what it was, dude. I'm sorry. You got to remind me, dude. Busy. River, waiting on you. I'll drink water in the meantime. Questions? Any big questions? River, goddammit. Right. What was it, dude? All right, listen, I'm going to jump off here. It doesn't matter. If you guys need anything, reach out to me. River, just the canine check. Let's have a text, and then we'll do it. We'll handle that via telephone. We'll do it here on Facebook Live. See you guys.